passive investing is becoming popular among investors. Investors can use either index funds or exchange-traded funds to make their passive investments. But what should investors prefer between index funds and exchange-traded funds, and what are the important differences between the two? To talk about this and more, Kirtan Shah, co-founder and CEO of SRE Wealth, talks to us in this edition of Simply Save Podcast.
Hi Kirtan, welcome to Simply Save Podcast. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much, Josh, for inviting me.
So Kirtan, we wanted to connect with you today to talk more about index funds and exchange traded funds. As you know, mutual fund investors are looking at these products as passive investing has got their attention. So firstly, can we simplify what index funds are and what ETFs are for our listeners today, and also why these are important products?
So Josh, broadly, investing is typically categorized as active investing and passive investing. Now, what is active investing? Active investing is you give money to a fund manager, and then the fund manager, depending on what he or she believes would work, would try and build a portfolio, which may be very close to what some index like a Nifty or Sensex may look like, or it may be completely different of what Nifty or Sensex as an index may look like. The prerogative of choosing which stock, which sector to invest in is predominantly decided by the fund manager in an active style of investing. What happens in a passive style of investing, Josh, is you directly end up investing in the index. So you believe that probably it is very difficult to, you know, kind of be able to beat the index on a longer time frame. And you think, which is why instead of investing in an active strategy, you might as well invest in the index directly. So you end up making returns which are very close to the index because you are actually investing in the index directly. Now, investing in index directly does not mean that, you know, there is a stock called Nifty that exists or a Sensex that exists that you can go and buy. So if you want to do index investing or investing in the index directly, you route it through a product like a mutual fund, which offers you investing in the index through something called as an index fund or something called as an ETF. Now, index fund, the primary difference between index fund and ETF is that index fund is more like a mutual fund, while where you buy in the index fund, you get the end of the day NAV. So you may buy in the mutual fund whenever you want through the day, and you will get end of the day's NAV. But what happens in an ETF is, ETF is more like a traded mutual fund. So you can actually buy this mutual fund during the market hours, and you can actually time what time of the market do you want to buy it at. So if you buy it at 3 o'clock, you are expected to receive an NAV of the fund, which is close to what it should technically should have been at 3 o'clock. So the difference between index and ETF is, index fund is more like a mutual fund. ETF fund is a mutual fund, which is more like a stock. You can buy it at a price within the market, at live prices between the markets.
But why should investors consider passive investing and look at these products, whether it's index funds or ETFs?
So just like I said, that there are two ways of looking at it. Let me talk about both the advantages and the disadvantages. So let me start with the advantages first. Look, what happens is, just over a period of time, it is seen, and all of us know through a lot of this data which is available, that beating the index in itself is a very sophisticated problem to solve. Since 2018, since the time SEBI introduced something called as categorization of funds, we've seen that it's become so difficult for active mutual funds, especially on the large cap category, to be able to beat the index. So if you are somebody who wants to do large cap kind of investing, and data over the last 3 years is showing that, you know, active investing is not able to beat the index, then why do you really want to invest money in an active strategy? You might as well invest money directly in the index, because 9 out of 10 times probability is that you will end up making better returns versus an active fund. Why? Because an active fund typically charges you a higher expense ratio. So while you invest in an active mutual fund, you end up paying a higher fee, but yet you are not able to beat the index, right? That's what the data has been showing over the last 3 years. And hence, in my opinion, while you are trying to do large cap, it's prudent to invest in large cap through probably a passive strategy. index or ETF. But there is not a lot of relevant data available, or we've not seen such convincing stat while we talk about probably a flexi cap fund or a small cap or a mid cap. So I think at least in these three spaces, there is still enough opportunity where the active fund managers are able to generate alpha and may not be an ideal option to always look at doing index or ETFs in flexi, mid or small cap category, Josh.
And between ETFs and index funds, which is a better bet for mutual fund investors?
Look, very honestly, in my opinion, if you have less than 50 lakh rupees to invest, Josh, then I would definitely suggest investors to look at index funds. Why do I make a comment of 50 lakhs? I'll just come to that. But why index fund? Yeah. Now, look, index fund, like I said, is exactly like a mutual fund. You buy it during that predefined time and you will get that day's NAV. So whatever the day closes at and the NAV comes out is the NAV that you will end up making. So it is exactly like buying a mutual fund. Now, what are the problems with ETFs and why am I saying that below 50 lakhs, you should look at index and not ETF? Look, predominantly, I feel that a lot of people believe, and which is also a fact that theoretically looking, index funds expense ratio is slightly higher than the expense ratio on ETFs. And which is why we feel that a lot of people want to buy ETFs and not index funds. But I'll tell you, there are multiple challenges with ETFs otherwise, which we don't look at. So let's say though the expense ratio is lower than the index fund, but because you are buying it from the exchange, you will have to pay a brokerage, right? While buying and while selling through the broker that you transact with. That's one. Second, very importantly, a lot of these ETFs are typically not liquid enough. So when I say they're not liquid enough, there is a huge spread between what the actual NAV should be versus what their actual NAV on the exchange is. That's called a spread. And that spread typically, in a lot of cases where, you know, you might have funds which are not liquid, is very high. Right. So you lately saw what happened with the latest Mirai fund as well on the ETF front,
right,
where the difference between what was traded versus what the INAV was, the difference was huge. So I think, you know, that spread takes away much higher than the total expense ratio, we feel, which is the difference between an index fund and an ETF. Again, I would also like to believe that while you are trying to buy an ETF, you know, you are trying to time the market. And I'm not sure how many of us really intraday, within the day, will be able to buy the market at the right price, which is the lowest for the day.
Right.
So it might so happen that you end up buying it at a price which is much higher than the price at which the day closes at. You know,
right,
that again can eat up your entire share. Of course,
right,
it might work in your favor as well, but I'm assuming that as a retail investor, you would not be in a position to time the markets really well.
Right.
So why is it recommended for people over 50 lakhs? Because what happens is over 50 lakhs, you can directly go to the AMC and ask the AMC to create units for you. So what happens is you go to the AMC, you tell the AMC that I want to buy 50 lakh worth of ABC ETF. You don't actually have to transact in the market and face the illiquidity issue. You can transact with the AMC directly and the AMC will issue the units to you at a price which is the correct price, called the INAV. So INAV is the NAV which is on the website or which is the accurate price as per the AMC. Live NAV is the NAV which is on the exchange. The difference is the spread that I'm talking to you of. So if you have more than 50 lakhs, then that spread is taken care of, right? Because you are not facing the illiquidity issue and the AMC can directly transact with you. One more reason, in my opinion, because we are talking about retail investors, Josh. In an index fund, you are allowed to do an SIP, SWP, STP, same like a mutual fund.
Right.
But an ETF does not allow you to do that. Long story short, if you think you have less than 50 lakh rupees that you really want to invest, in my opinion, index is a better option versus an ETF.
Just to clarify this, if you have more than 50 lakh to invest and you want to do it through ETF, you can go directly to AMC and they will create units for you. And
correct,
what if you can talk again about the INAV concept so that we get a better understanding of that.
So just what happens is, imagine it to be like this, that there is a stock price of the ETF which is trading in the market versus that there is a fair price of what that ETF should be which is listed on the AMC's website. So let's say on the, this is just trying to make the concept similar.
Yeah, right.
Let's say on the AMC's website, the price is 10, which means that the AMC thinks that depending on where the market is right now, the price of this ETF should be 10 rupees. But what happens in the market is because there are people buying and selling and there can be liquidity issues between demand and supply, this can also trade at 9, okay, where you will be happy to buy that at a discount. Okay. But this can also trade at a 12. Okay. It's at a premium to the INAV. Right. And hence, to save that difference between the TER of an index fund versus an ETF, you might end up paying a much higher premium buying it from, okay, the exchange.
Also, you know, how important is looking at tracking errors? I mean, how big a tracking error can be in an ETF and, you know, by what margin it could impact an investor's wealth? Any thoughts on this or any views on this?
So just slightly technical here. So there are two concepts. One is called tracking error. Another is called tracking differences. Actually, for the retail investors, what matters is tracking differences. What is tracking differences? Index generates 10%. Your fund generates 9.9. We say the tracking difference is 0.1%. So it is the underperformance of your fund versus the index. Though you are expecting that the index should be able to generate, or the ETF should be able to generate, index fund should be able to generate returns equivalent to the index, but there can be some differences, right, which you call as the tracking differences. Now, this is interchangeably used in the market as tracking error, but this is actually not tracking error. What the retail investor should actually look at is the tracking difference. And of course, there are funds which have higher tracking difference. There are funds which have lower tracking difference. You definitely want to stick to a fund which has a lower tracking difference. So how would I choose a fund if I want to? Very simple. The first point that I will have to do is try and figure out what index do I really want to invest in. Look, because you not only have Sensex Nifty, but you also have sectorial indexes like the Bank Nifty, let's say, for example, right? Or the PSU index. So the first decision, in my opinion, that you will have to make is which index do you really want to invest in given your risk return ability and profile. Once you've done that, is the second point that you look at is the tracking difference between the funds and the index, and coincide this with the TER, the total expense ratio of the fund. Of course, you want a fund which has the lowest tracking differences, lowest expense ratio, right? And yeah, the index is, should be the index that you want to invest in. So that is the way I would look at it. Now, just because you asked me about tracking error, look, tracking error is typically, in very simple terms, the annualized standard deviation of daily returns between the total return performance of the fund and the total return performance of its underlying index. So tracking error typically looks at the standard deviation change. Now, that will become too tricky for the retail investors, in my opinion, to track. So all that the retail investor should do, in my opinion, is just look at the difference between the return that the fund generated versus the index. You have to understand that's called the tracking difference, and you want to keep it as low as possible. Keep the expense ratio as low as possible. Choose the right index and I think you're good to go.
Okay, but this tracking difference in the case of ETFs can be much larger than in the case of index funds, right? Like you pointed out. And therefore, another question I have is, see, in some cases, a theme or a particular investment product may only be available in the ETF structure. There may not be like a similar thematic product available in the index fund. So, you know, what should investors do when they are in this dilemma where whether to save on tracking difference or maybe look at that theme or idea?
So, Josh, in my opinion, look, thematic funds or sector funds or sector ETFs are actually meant for evolved investors. I would not expect a retail investor, rather I would suggest that a retail investor should typically not look at taking sectorial bets or thematic bets unless they really understand the sector well. They understand that at the macro level, why that sector is supposed to work and so on and so forth. Because if you end up taking a sectorial or a thematic bet, you are going against the whole diversification advantage for which you are coming to the mutual fund versus picking stocks directly. But let's say there is an evolved investor who wants to look at a sectorial theme. Then in that case, definitely, like you rightly pointed out, there are not a lot of index options available for you to play the sectorial or the thematic theme. But also, I'm assuming because you are an evolved investor, because you are taking exposure to sector and thematic, you will be able to make the best of the ETF transaction that you will do and may not face the troubles that a retail investor would otherwise face in terms of spreads and timing and all that we spoke of.
Okay, thanks, Kirtan. That's all from our side. We had a great time asking you the questions and listening to the pointed and insightful answers you shared. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Josh, for having me on the show.
That's all the time we have for today's podcast. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And keep listening to Simply Save. If you have any feedback or questions, do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news and views, log on to moneycontrol.com.